Hello and welcome to another episode of Not Alone Today podcast. My name is Joseph.
And I am Anu. Welcome.
So today we've got an interesting question from Simi, and it goes thus. She says, I need help. My siblings and I are always at loggerheads. In fact, my immediate brother has left the house to stay with someone else as I type these words. The issue is that they believe I'm too spiritoco. That means spiritual, like I'm too spiritual. And wouldn't let them have their way in doing certain things that they feel is normal. Just this evening, there was a quarrel because I asked my other brother not to listen to a particular song because of the dirty lyrics. But he insisted. These acts leave me feeling bad, like I'm a mean and troublesome person. Sometimes I find it very difficult to pray. What can I do? What are your opening thoughts?
My first thought is that Simi could take it easy.
Calm down.
We're talking about souls here. Still, it's not your responsibility to save their soul. You can guide them to the truth, but you can't force it down their throat.
Can't force salvation down someone's
throat. So my first point would be that your actions should matter more in this case than your words. In the sense that, okay, when I was growing up, I also had the same situation with you. My brothers were fearless and their own men. You can't tell them to do anything. So when I found Jesus, they didn't find Jesus. So, and because they were older, they are older than me. There's a little forcefulness I can use to force anything. I'll get slammed. so how I did it then? I didn't deliberately do anything. But what helped was, I lived out the Jesus I found. I became less argumentative, less stubborn in some regard. Like you could see the changes in me, and I think maybe that's what they want to see in you, because you said to them that they feel that you wouldn't let them have their way. And what they are doing is normal to them. So I'll put it back to you, Simi. Before you met Jesus, these things were also normal to you. Another point is patience. Be patient with them.
That's right.
I'll flesh that out later.
Okay. That makes absolute sense. That's a nice way to start it off. The issue is, I'm imagining Simi carrying, you've not seen some people that will be so, they have this passion for souls that they feel like, this person can die in a second. I must do everything in my power to make sure they know Jesus now.
Where is that in the Bible though? What's their backing?
Their backing is Matthew 28:19. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to all nations.
Did you hear the words?
Yeah.
Go. Yeah. Preach. But there's no force. There's no I must there.
I understand. I don't attack me. I'm only painting the scenario. I'm making you see the different layers of complications that could lead to where this kind of issue is coming from. On the one hand, especially I'm sensing that Simi is actually older than these people that she's talking about. Which case, given the African cultural background or context rather, it's actually possible that she would even want to, naturally there is already like a seniority complex in the house. There is the whole I'm older than you, you have to listen to me backdrop in all of this, to which growing up we always want to rebel against. I've not always been the most obedient person.
Really? Tell us about that. Joshua should hear this.
Actually, I was obedient.
Okay.
Only because I don't like being beaten.
Okay, that's
I already know my limitations. I know that beating is not my thing. Even talking to me, like to make me feel like I've disappointed you, is not my thing. And so that would make me behave, but not necessarily because I want to behave. I don't want to get slapped. I mean, one of my other brothers older brothers had told me before one time that I'm going to slap you and you will see star. And I thought, what? he dared me to say the wrong thing I was saying and say it again. And I said it one more time and he gave me that slap.
That slap.
Indeed, I saw stars. And so I know my limitations and would not dare to and more so I think virtually all of them found Jesus on a personal level much earlier than I did. So my context doesn't exactly fully fit in with Simi's in that sense. However, I'm making Simi to see that one, there is beyond being a Christian or a child of God, someone that has found Jesus, there's already a pre-existing cultural challenge in the sense whereby there is the tendency for your younger one to want to rebel against you on your authority if you are claiming seniority, especially in families where your parents will make you forcefully call those that are older than you brother or sister as a prefix, brother lagbaja, sister lagbaja, as though anyways, but yeah, that's a cultural thing. So besides that, the way to be able to reach out to someone you're trying to win to Christ in a familial context is not to play the seniority card, is not to play the judgmental or condemnation card. You don't want to condemn them, you don't want to judge them, you don't want to prove to them that you have a right to tell them what to do, even if culturally in some regards these things would have been appropriate. We live in the 21st century. What is shaping our perspective and our worldviews is beyond the dictates of our immediate culture, if you will. Having laid that foundation, it therefore goes on to what you were saying, Anu, that it is about our actions. This is where action speaks louder than words. This is where what you do in secret, in terms of praying for them when they don't even see you doing that, weighs more. It's easier for me to meet a stranger that I've never met and strike up a conversation about Jesus and share something of my own personal testimony, because I know I may never meet the person again, I may never see the person again. But for someone that you live in the same house, you dwell together, even Jesus, when he was on earth, the Bible was clear that he's immediate brothers or half-brothers, if you will, considering the fact that they were born through the union of Joseph and Mary, as opposed to Jesus that was born through the union of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost and Mary in that sense. But Bible says that they were sarcastic in their relationship with Jesus. John chapter 7 especially plays that out. As somebody that is doing something so important, should not do it on a local level. You should go to Jerusalem. You should go to... They were just playing all sorts of sarcasm cards against him, to the point where Jesus would say at the time when they said, oh, your mom is waiting for you with your brothers. And he looked at those that were listening to him and said, who is my mother and my brothers and my siblings? It is you. It is you people that are listening to me. Don't mind those ones. Those ones, a prophet does not have honor in a city and in his own home. He was talking of himself in that context. So yeah, basically to say, it's not about the words now. It's about your actions. I'm so blown away the first time I heard this quote that is attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi, who said that, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. As though to say, actually, the basic unit of preaching the gospel is not by our words. It's by our actions. It's in what we do. It's in how we model the Christian life for other people. So I'll pause there. I want you to talk on patience. And then I'll give a case study, a practical case study of how at least someone that I lived with in 21 days and led to Christ, just led to Christ without preaching the gospel with words. I think that would tie in to give Simi at least a sort of case study. Of course, that person is not my immediate family, is not my brother, is not my immediate family, but can give a window into what that could look like. But I want to listen to your point on patience and glean something from that.
Recently, I've been reading on parenting because I found myself shouting, yelling at a three-year-old, our first.
Yeah.
And I would shout at him for something that can be overlooked. Then apologize immediately. Then in the next 2 hours, something else happens. I shout, apologize immediately. And I thought, it's actually something I'm not understanding more. So I'm reading a book called Triggers, how to understand the things that triggers.
Triggers.
It's about parenting, basically. So what I've learned about from that is being patient. Like, to see me now, yeah, see the passion you have, yeah, see it as a way of coaching your brothers. Indirect coaching.
Yeah.
So from, I've never had a coach, but I know most coaches, what they do is they don't just tell you, you go do 50 press up there, you go do 50 squats. They bend down and do it with you when you're struggling. So in the example you gave to me about how that one of your brothers was listening to a song and you didn't like because the lyrics were dirty, you said you should stop listening to it. In that scenario, it's a very good example. Like find opportunities to minister. Like Kola said, preach the gospel at all times, but when necessary, use words. In that scenario, that example that she gave, why not use the sandwich criticism? First, say to him, and be honest about it, because there's some music that are dirty, but the sounds are good.
Yeah,
you could just dance to him and like, ooh, nice beats. What are they saying? It would be the one to tell you, oh, sis, you wouldn't like this, but they're saying things that are not right. Then you're like, oh, really? What are they saying? They'll be like, no, don't listen. That way, without you preaching, he's already acknowledging the fact that he has some choices to make. And you haven't said whether Jesus will condemn you or Jesus loves you or this is not what God would have you do. Because you've loved what he likes. You've seen something good in something bad. It will be the one to guard you from what you think would corrupt you. So that I think that's how to live with siblings where that don't believe the same thing we do. We don't push them aside or get irritated by them because they are not understanding us or understanding the Christ that we serve. Like, the best way to live with our siblings is just to be led by the Holy Spirit. I think that's the best. They still are siblings. Even people that have siblings that are Christians, we still struggle with some of their choices.
Absolutely.
So it's just, don't see them as unbelievers. I think we should get that out of the way. They are foremost your brother, your blood. The same one that you shared before you met Christ. See them as have that. Let that love be retained. Then the corrections and the instructions would come whilst you're having a relationship with them. I use an example of parenting in the sense that you tell a three-year-old child, don't press my keyboard, it will send an email to my boss. And the three-year-old says, no, mommy, I want to press this W. And you flip, you either take him from your lap and dump him on the bed or turn him around and tell him very firmly. But dumping him on the bed or doing all those, as I haven't fostered any relationship. I haven't been gracious. If something like that should happen, he wouldn't understand the lesson. What if I tell him, if you press this, this is what happens, and this is what happens? Like, oh, I'm sorry, mom, I won't do it. Oh, he will still do it anyway. But at least you've done your bit. I'm just trying to make you see that, like them.
Yeah.
Jesus liked unbelievers. He went to sup with them. He had dinner with them. He allowed a woman who is an outcast to say, wash his feet and rub oil on his feet. It's so unseeming. It's almost erotic. But he saw the service than the seeming badness. So if you
and the lavishness of
it. So begin, let the like come. It's still the same Holy Spirit. So that's what I'll say. And I'm thinking it's actually good to be Spirit Coco, but be a smart Spirit Coco. A Spirit Coco led by the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit, speaking through the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure God will help you.
That's so brilliant. I mean, I think you aptly tied everything together with that nugget of wisdom. As you were talking, the Holy Spirit brought up a point in my heart to say, even after we become part of his family, how does God in this ongoing work bring out the best in us? He does it by Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. The way we become more like Christ is by God himself being intentional about reminding us that we are not condemned.
Mm.
The more we know that we are not condemned, the more we are able to continue to go boldly and stay in a kind of countercultural relationship whereby even when I mess up, I am prompted to go to the Father to report myself, because of course he already knows, but to come clean and say, this is what I did wrong. And that is why I need your help in this particular area, so that I can be stronger and not fall into the same cycle of sins or temptations or whatever that could look like. That is how God makes us more and more like Jesus. He keeps reminding us there is therefore now no condemnation. You want to bring out the best out of your brother. You want to draw them to the Father. It's the same mechanism. It doesn't happen by condemnation. It doesn't happen by forceful seniority instructions. It happens simply by letting them know that there is an atmosphere around you whereby they can feel safe, whereby they can feel like, yeah, I'm messed up, but I have a sister. The Yorubas have a proverb, Dada ko le ja, shugbon ni aburo to gboju. In other words, there is a dada that cannot fight.
What is dada?
Dada is just, in this case, actually referring to someone. It's a Rastafarian in a sense, but I mean in terms of appearance. But who cannot fight and leans on the fact that, yeah, I may not be able to fight, but at least I have a sibling that is capable of fighting. And so in this same case, yeah, they may not be all that you want them to be yet, but model an environment around you, an atmosphere around you, whereby they can still feel like we have a sister. We have a sister that we can be vulnerable with. And gradually you see them being drawn to Christ. I know that sometimes you attend some mission conferences or mission events where the fire of evangelism is so rekindled in you. And of course, you will know that it seems foolish for you to go into the world when charity begins from home. So I want all my family members to be saved by fire, by force, and then I can go and start preaching to other people. When you realize that actually you can't save anybody, the mission is not go into the world and save people. The mission is go into the world and preach. Talk. And we've said preach the gospel at all times, according to Saint Francis. When necessary, use words. So in other words, whether or not you are talking to your family members or to people out there, the basic unit of evangelism is in modeling the life by your actions, because your actions speaks louder than your words. I said I was going to give a case study. I'm going to just summarize it in a bit. In 2013, I was transferred to a particular post somewhere in southwestern Nigeria to serve in the church network that I was a part of. And I got to this place. Of course, I didn't know at the time that I was going to be there for just 21 days. I was transferred there indefinitely, so I could be there for God knows how many years or God knows how many days. In this case, I was only there for 21 days. But when I got there, I was given the opportunity to live in like my own room, some sort of a self-contained within a bigger apartment that is reserved for the assistant pastor. But I felt like God instructed me to actually pack my things and go and live in the same room with the driver of the senior pastor I was serving. And so I told him I wanted to live together in the same room with him if he's okay with that. He felt really honored. He felt like, oh wow, that's good. And I noticed he wasn't coming out for prayer meetings. He doesn't join us in any. The only time we see him really is when there is somewhere to go and he has to drive the car. Otherwise, he doesn't. In fact, I got to know that he's from a Muslim background. But eventually, after 2 weeks of living together with him, we never have conversations about Jesus or anything. I even felt like God wouldn't permit me to preach verbally to him. And all of this didn't make sense until looking back in retrospect anyways. But I just kept living my life, chatting with my fiancé and having all these phone calls and stuff together while living in the same room with him. Until one day I came into the room and I saw him reading my Bible. I did like I didn't see him, snuck out, went to the town center, got exactly the same kind of Bible and wrote his name on it, put it on his bed and said, now you can read yours without having to borrow mine. And that was the beginning of a turning point. And then the next week I found out I was being transferred back to Lagos and I was going to be leaving. And the day he found out, he broke down in tears and was like, oh my God, just when God is beginning to do a work of transformation in me, da 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 da. And I'm like, I've not done anything. You know that I've not done anything. He that has begun a good work in you will perfect it. He said, wow, just pray for me. I want to be like you when I grow up, in that sense. And I prayed with him, gave him, I said, if you want to be like me, start dressing like me. So I gave him some of my clothes and all of that. The next time I would see him, like 3 weeks later, when he drove that pastor to the headquarters where I was now working, I saw him wearing the suit, the tie, the shoes, everything I gave him, looking like a pastor, at least in the Nigerian sense of the word. And I felt really, really fulfilled. Like my work in that zone or that post, that station was accomplished within those 21 days, without ever sitting down to say, Jesus loves you, let's talk about your life and all of that. So basically all that to say, no condemnation would actually work faster. Simi, you are not alone. There are lots and lots of people that are going through what you're going through. But I like the wisdom that my wife has shared, Anu has shared, in that be patient. It's not up to you for them to be saved. It's the Spirit that does that work. What is up to you is to model a life that makes that possible. And that won't happen if you are breathing down their necks with the gospel or with always pointing out what they are doing wrong. A sinner is a sinner. They don't know better. Yours is just to model the environment whereby they are able to thrive in that and see pointers to a better life that the Holy Spirit can use to hook them through till the day that they would come down and say, what can we do to be like you, to be saved, to enjoy the peace that you enjoy, to enjoy the love that you model, and all of that. Any concluding words? I'm done.
Yes, I just wanted to say, Simi, that my analogy of parenting and the sandwich criticism is like, say something good about the situation, slip in what you want to say in a very lovable manner, finish it with praise, with appreciating them, and I'm hoping that will work. And also, Simi, I think you might need to say, you might need to apologize, because from what you, the question you've said, you said the quarrels make you feel bad, but I can't see the, I can't see you going back to them to say, I'm actually sorry for doing that. Or your brother that left home to live with someone else, to reach out to him to say, I'm sorry, just the way this thing is doing me and wanting to, it's just the passion. But obviously, I'm still a newbie, or God is helping me. You can come back home. So, and you can tell them to help you to know your triggers, that when you're starting to come on to them like that, then they can tell you, ah, sis, you're starting to sound like that again. And then you will know how to readdress. And I think it'll be good to just be, to never to mend the relationship that is getting broken, to just say you're sorry when you should say you're sorry. Even if you're right, it's their life. They own it. And if you feel bad so much that you can't pray, it means the Holy Spirit is making you to savor. You need to go back and pour your heart out. Not in a preachy manner. Just make them see how much you're struggling too. And that God will help you. Just keep saying God will help you. And they would see that you're not actually the spiritual you think. They would be able to understand, hopefully, your progress and where you're coming from. And I'm hoping and praying that in a matter of months, you guys would, you will sink together and you'll be brothers and sisters in the way God intends it to be. Amen. And the believing part will come in as God wants it to be. Amen. Using you as an instrument of people outside if need be.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so very much for that. God bless you. God bless you, Simi, for the question. And God bless all our listeners for always taking the time to listen, and for those that are also sending questions at different times. God bless you. Yeah, so thank you very much. And we look forward to catching up again in the next episode. Till then, remember,
you're not alone
today. God bless you.